So tell me what happened.
Well, we're walking by there.
We're talking about Saturday of the grand final.
Grand final, yes. Well, Anita and I turned up there because we were going into the library in the city, walking past the MCG, and I was carrying a picture of Julian Assange by my side. And Anita was holding a flag with Julian Assange's face on it. It was blowing lovely in the wind, beautifully in the wind. And all of a sudden, she was getting tackled by the police, and at the same time, they tackled me.
And you said there were about nine of them?
There were nine of them, yeah. I actually counted eight, but apparently there was nine. And it seemed like a bit of a training exercise, because there were a couple of senior constables, and the other ones were young constables, and they were doing all the aggressive stuff. And the older guys were sort of hanging back. It seemed like it was a bit of a training mission or something.
And there was crowds of people?
Crowds of people everywhere, yeah. And
what time was this?
It would have been 1:30 or something. I think it starts about 2, mm-hmm. A little bit before the game started. And they were manhandling Anita, and they're trying to rip her flag away from her. And then they, right in front of her, they broke the pole, the stick. And then they claimed that it
was... And this flag had a picture of Julian Assange on the top.
On the flag, yeah. So they were trying to grab it off her, then they broke the stick right in front of her. Then they tried to claim that it was a dangerous weapon because since it had been broken, it had, you know, sharp... it was sharp, but it was broken. And then they handcuffed Anita. And behind the back, which is always more painful. And Anita was complaining and at one stage actually squealing in distress. It was awful. She complained about the handcuffs, and the young constable, who was very aggressive, we've got his name, a red-headed guy with a red beard, he said, oh, they're supposed to hurt. And they were a funny sort of triangular shape. They weren't the usual round handcuffs. They looked like they were designed to cause you pain. Anyway, so finally they let her off, and then at the same time they were demanding that I identify myself. And I said, look, I'm not driving a car. I'm not committing a crime. I don't need to identify myself. I'm a free civilian. And I'm not going to give you my identification. I'm not going to give you my name and birth date. And then they got out the iPad. And all of a sudden I saw a picture of myself on the iPad, and then they said, read out my address to me. And I said, oh, well, that's very clever, boys, you know, what, a bit of facial recognition going on there, is it? And the picture of me was a recent picture of me that they had on their iPad. Then they called my number, and my phone rang, and I didn't know who it was, of course, and it was a red, you know, unknown number. I didn't answer it, so then he called me again, I answered it, and then sure enough, it was the policeman standing sort of 2 feet away from me. I could hear my voice on his phone. And I was going, oh, well, that's very tricky, guys, you know, because this old bloke was constantly telling me he was reasonable. And I was saying, well, it depends on how you define reasonable, really, because I don't think anything you've done today is reasonable. And then when he did the photo identification, facial recognition of myself, he said, oh, I'm also smart. So there was a little bit of sort of easygoing humour there, but the younger guys were just so aggressive. And then apparently Anita, who did provide her identification, one of the cops told her to tell me to provide my ID, and then they let her go away, and I wouldn't budge on it. Perhaps I should have, because then they started writing out fines, and one for me and one for Anita, and plus an official direction, which I've got photos of, to move away from the area. Now, they claimed that because of some act of parliament that had been brought in previously, that a sports precinct could be designated as the area surrounding a sporting event, and that the legislation gave them the power to arrest anybody that was protesting in the precinct. And I said, well, that's very interesting. I've never heard about it, and there was never any signs or anything, and we're not protesting, so can we go now, please? You know? And am I under arrest? Well, how come I can't go? You know, you're detaining me. And it just... So anyway, eventually they gave us a fine and let us
go. Tell us how much the fine is.
$385.
Each.
Each.
Yeah?
Oh, and then we went to complain to the police headquarters in the city in Bourke Street, and they weren't very interested at all. And they said, well, we just want to make a statement because, you know, we've been assaulted. Well, I was talking about Anita. Anita's been assaulted and suffered abuse by these police, and it's unwarranted. And they said, well, you can make a complaint online. And I said, well, I just want you to register the fact that we've made a statement here. And he said, no, I'm not prepared to do it. So then we went down to Sandringham and we made another complaint in the Sandringham police station. And we believe that guy, although reluctantly, did take a record of the complaint that Anita had been assaulted by the police at the MCG. And then it's been going around the internet quite a lot. A lot of people are getting very angry about it, and so they should. Anyway, so that's what happened. But it was quite shocking. You know, we were quite traumatised afterwards. I didn't realise until afterwards how these things can sort of traumatise you. You know, we were sort of both out of sorts, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do know.
Yeah, so we were sort of, you know, walking around like stunned chooks sort of a little bit after that event.
Yeah. It's like a shaggy dog's tail, isn't it?